Jokic behind his back. What a take by Jokic.
That's your sitter. Wow.
You guys are really us. What number are we thinking of? 69, kids!
Jokic. Here's the
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Pickaxe Pundit Show. I am your host, Zach Mikosh from DenverStiffs.com. You are listening to nothing but Net Radio, part of the Dash Radio Network. It is 4 o'clock here in the Mile High City. And if you haven't figured it out, this is the one and only Denver Nuggets dedicated show on nothing but Net Radio. So for the next hour, well, we're going to talk about Michael Porter Jr. playing NBA 2K and maybe a couple of other things. With us, our co-host this week is Mr. Daniel Lewis, DenverStiffs.com writer. Dan, what's going on surviving the rain in Virginia?
Yeah, so I've moved out to Lynchburg, Virginia, but that doesn't mean that I can't stop covering the Nuggets because, you know, even though the season's not going on, there's still some things to talk about.
There is a couple things. Right off the top, before we dive into the show, have you seen Muscle Watch 2018 Vlatko Chantra?
I mean, it's the background on my laptop, so yeah, I've seen Vlatko Kankar.
for anybody who hasn't seen it, got to check out Vlatko on Instagram. He, Vlatko's looking good, man.
He looks like like Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know?
right. Except for with like a really goofy looking face on front. No, which everybody knows I love Vlatko, but he's just, you know, he looks like, what is he, 21, 20? Yes, that's about what he looks. So it's just kind of funny. I guess, yeah, I've noticed as I get older, you know, 20-year-olds still look like kids to me, so.
I mean,
it
looks like he came to Summer League and like picked up all of Hedo Turkoglu's steroids and brought it back with him to Europe. It's freaking cut.
Right. He's been, he's probably just been consisting of a diet of protein powder, like quinoa, so maybe some cod, some kale. Basically, we'll call it the three C's. The three C's to
creatine,
success.
Creatine, cod, and quinoa.
Creatine, cod, quinoa. There you go. But yeah, Vlatko. Looking beastly. So that's how we're going to start off this show. The rest of the show, we've got, we've got us kind of stretch some content here. So the biggest story this week was Michael Porter Jr., randomly inviting people off of Twitter to come to his apartment and play him in NBA 2K, and pretty much he dominated, including taking one kid's $800 pair of Jordans that he got for his high school graduation. Porter did say he's going to contribute a pair of Pumas to the unfortunate loser of that match, so not all bad things, but just a really weird, kind of a weird story. So why not? There's really nothing better to talk about this at this point in August 4th of the year, where there's really no preseason or off-season left to discuss. So we'll get into that. And then we've been looking forward already to the season the past couple of shows. We'll keep doing that. I want to make some predictions. I want to know who's going to be the Nuggets' most improved player. I want to know how far the Nuggets are going to go in the playoffs. And I want to know if there was one member of the organization who you didn't think was going to be with the team next season, who would it be? And then finally, we do this about once a year. We take some time in the show to actually talk about something not really Nuggets related, but more just kind of talk about what we do here at Denver Stiffs. And I thought it was interesting. I've seen some comments over the past, since I started writing at Denver Stiffs, honestly, but some comments about, you know, how sometimes they think people think the media outlets are biased or that they're not overly critical, which who better to have on the show than Dan Lewis to talk about whether or not we're overly critical. But so I thought that might be an interesting discussion as well. So if we, we'll get some time towards the end of the show, we will we'll get into that. Well, let's start off with Michael Porter Jr., video game aficionado. Apparently, he's been taking some people down from what I can see on Twitter. Most basically, he's been having it really weird. He sent out a random invitation. You know, anybody in Denver who wants to play some NBA 2K with some, you know, with some cash on the line, hit him up, and he wasn't lying, and he actually had people come over to his apartment and play him and lose him, and like I said, one kid lost his $800 pair of Jordans. So, Dan, I mean, like, how strange is this? Like, how weird is this for an NBA player to do this?
I think it's pretty bizarre. The thing that is most bizarre to me isn't that he's playing NBA 2K with, you know, with random strangers, or, you know, with Nuggets fans, anybody that lives in Denver. I've been able to play video games online with NBA players before. You just need to find out their gamer tag, and you can invite them to play with you on Xbox Live or different things like that. And the Nuggets have a lot of gamers. I know Michael Beasley games a lot, Tyler Lydon games a lot, Jamal Murray.
The Joker himself.
Yeah, Nikola Jokic plays. So it's not random that they're playing video games, but just but letting people in, like, into your house. you work in construction, as do I, and I worked on a building one time where a Nuggets player lived, and that was like a state secret. Like, they were terrified of, like, finding out that, or right, like letting that knowledge become public that they lived there, you know, just for random fans, you know.
Right, just to show up. And...
But, you know, Michael Porter Jr. just seems like he is a young guy that hasn't learned what it's like to be have a private residence, and he just wants to hang out with people. So he's just being a kid, it seems like.
Right. Yeah, it seems, I mean, it seems a bit reckless when I think about it. Like, I would definitely never invite strangers off the internet to come to my house. Like, no way.
What if what if they bring a 3D printed gun into their house, you know?
Right. Exactly. These are real problems. And I have no money. I'm in blogging. Like, so why would anybody want to come into my house anyways? But Michael Porter Jr. is a millionaire. That's like, it seems like you're just setting yourself up for a bad situation by just, man, there's scummy people on the internet. There just really is. They're all over the place. So, I don't know. I agree with you. That's the strange part of it. Or that's the questionable part of it. To me, I honestly, the rest of the stuff, like, yeah, I mean, I play NBA 2K. I was playing it right before I came here on the show. So, I'm not going to challenge Michael Porter Jr. cause I don't think I'm actually that good, but, you know, I mean, like, that's cool if he wants to, you know, play people, but that kind of like what you said, like, why wouldn't you just do that online rather than have people come to your house? And the only reason is because, well, you're not just playing for fun, are you? You're playing for a little cash, which is, I guess, it's not technically illegal, right? Because it's not really gambling.
It's a wager between two individuals. It's not gambling.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And it's not a game of chance. So, still, very, very just. I mean, I guess that's the other element to it. Is like, man. Like, that's the other thing. Like, dude, you just signed like a multi-million-dollar contract. You really need to play people for like a bill, you know, to just see if you can make it. That you look at that and you wonder about that because it's, I don't know. Maybe it's just, it's all kind of harmless fun, I guess, in the end. Even the kid who loses his $800 Jordans, like, you probably shouldn't have put your $800 pair of Jordans on the line.
Right.
If you didn't want to lose them, you know what I mean? Like,
it's crazy too. I mean, this is how slow things have kind of been, but like, we published a story the same day that he did his NBA 2K thing where he gave his mom a brand new car. Like, right. Obviously he has money that he's willing to spend on other people. So he's out here buying brand new cars, but at the same time turning around and taking a pair of $800 Jordans from some guy in NBA 2K, like, it's such a weird teenager thing to do in my mind.
Right.
I feel like such an old man saying that, just being like, these damn kids and their video games.
They're video games. Exactly. It's a weird story, but I appreciate it. I appreciate MPJ giving us some content here. So, all right, Dan, I want to ask you this. You are in Michael Porter Jr.'s apartment. He has challenged you for $100 or your $800 pair of Jordans, if you have one. What team are you picking, and how are you going to beat Michael Porter Jr. in NBA 2K?
Well, you know, if you want to slay a Goliath, you need a David. And so I'd be playing as the Dallas Mavericks.
As the Dallas Mavericks.
Because NBA history, you know, we know that if you want to beat somebody that doesn't seem like they can be beaten, you just need to put J.J. Barea and Dirk Nowitzki on the floor, and it's game over for the other guy.
Yes, right. That is right, yes. Diminutive J.J. Barea. Is there like a person with a more punchable face in the entire NBA?
Other than Blacko? No.
I'm not punching Blacko, man. There's no way. Like, that guy. That guy looks like he's a UFC fighter.
Maybe Goran Dragic?
Goran's got a pretty... He's got that big old nose, man. And it's just sticking out there. And you're like,
plus, you know, he can take a punch.
Boban.
So it's just like... I'm just going to slap you.
Right. Or you're going to do the mellow style, you know, where you throw the punch and then you start running backwards.
The hold me back.
Also,
the hold me back, as Jalen Rose calls it.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. So I would, if I was going to be playing Michael Porter Jr., I can't believe I would use the Nuggets. Why would you not use the Denver Nuggets? That's the team to go with. And here's the thing, like, that I've learned in 2K, like, if you've got the Nuggets, you can use Jokic as like your main focal point of your offense. And like, you know, no matter how good the person you're playing is at playing defense, they're focused on you as Jokic. Like, it's still the stupid computer who's defending all the guys off ball. He's just pretty much conditioned to whoever cuts in is open. That would be my strategy. Now on defense, I'm terrible. So there'd be no hope. Like, I'd have to win, you know, 140 to 135 or something like that.
Kind of like the real life Nuggets then, huh?
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's why I just go with the flow. I'm very Paul Westhead with my style there in 2K. All right. So let's talk about this then, Dan. Like you mentioned, there's quite a few guys who play some games on the, which, why wouldn't you? If you're gonna be a basketball player or a professional athlete and you're on the road as much as they are, man, what else are you gonna do? So
read a book.
Who do you think on the read a book? This is what? Yeah, you are old. God, read a book. What is this? The 1960s?
Listening to an NPR podcast.
Maybe just go out on the old tire swing and enjoy the outdoors.
Knit sweaters? For warm-ups? Come on.
Exactly. Okay, there are multiple activities you could do. I agree. But I probably would just rather play some 2K instead. which guy do you got on the Nuggets? If you got to pick one guy on the Nuggets to beat Michael Porter Jr. in a game of 2K, who are you taking?
Oh, man. It's... easy choice. It's Tyler Lydon. He had that knee injury for 6 months. He couldn't really play basketball. So,
right.
You know,
got to do something.
He's got that good basketball IQ too. He was on the national team growing up and played at Syracuse under Jim Boeheim. So, you know, he knows basketball. You know, he knows how to play video games. Like, hook me up with Tyler Lydon.
Tyler Lydon, that's an interesting choice, one I would have not thought. I'm taking the big man. I'm taking Nikola Jokic. Like, we've seen him dominate Cody Wise, one of the PR members of the Nuggets PR team. We saw him get dominated on FIFA by the Joker. We know he had Call of Duty right on release night if I remember right. Got it right there in the locker room after the game. So I think Jokic is probably a pretty good gamer, you know, and he's got two brothers who are obviously super competitive. So, you know, that's how it always happens. Like, there's always that one kid in the family who ends up getting really, usually the big brother, he ends up getting really good at video games because he just dominates his little brothers for you know, years on end. So I bet you, you know, maybe if you could get one of Jokic's brothers to play Michael Porter Jr., that would be.
Plus,
worthwhile, yeah, television.
That might actually work, because then if they're down in the fourth quarter, they just threaten to beat him up if they lose.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, this would be must-see TV. All right, we got a pitch. We're gonna have to start talking. See who do we talk to make this happen?
I don't know.
I don't know. Dan's like, I'm in Virginia, man. This is not my area of expertise. All right, well, let's move on from the Michael Porter Jr. 2K story, weird as it is, and it's time. Let's do some way early predictions for the next season, because it is it's as good a thing to do as anything, and I think probably the most, because we could ask, okay, who's going to be the Nuggets MVP next season, and I think me and Dan are probably both going to agree. I mean, Dan, I'm guessing you're going to say Nikola Jokic, right?
Yeah. Him or Paul Millsap.
Yeah, right. Like, I think the dark horse pick in there, I think, is Isaiah Thomas. But really, it's going to be Nikola Jokic. So that I think is less interesting. But what about this? What about most improved player for the Nuggets next season? Who do you think that would be?
Most improved. I'm hoping that it's actually Will Barton.
Nice. That's not a bad pick, actually.
Just because, even though Will's obviously put a lot of work into his game, he was a six-man of the year candidate last year, I just think that he's going to be putting in a lot of work this offseason into becoming a better defender and just a better... I mean, he's obviously a great offensive player, and he's very, very talented, slashing to the rim. But just learning how to, like, shoot from the perimeter, be a part of the offense as a small forward, you know, incorporate his off the ball game, running off of screens. I think that there's a lot of room for him to grow in that area. And he seems like he's just so committed to the organization and to being the best basketball player possible. I feel like he's going to be able to put in the work to improve in the offseason the most.
It's not a guy I would have thought about, but I like that pick. You're right, because I mean, look, Will Barton's, even though he's going to become a starter, he's probably going to still end up with about the same amount of minutes because he played a ton of minutes last season. But the thing about it, in fact, I think he played more than anybody on the Nuggets.
Yeah, he played the most minutes
last season. But the thing about it is now he becomes a starter, and so it's more of a, I think it's just going to be, he's going to be playing with better players around him. He's going to get more minutes with Jokic. So like you said, that's a great point, that he's going to, you know, if he can develop his off-ball game more, because we know Will Barton is very dangerous with the ball in his hands. He's probably right now, because you don't know how healthy Michael Porter Jr. is, or really Isaiah Thomas, where he's at in terms of coming back. Right now, you'd probably say Will Barton is the best isolation or one-on-one player that the Nuggets have. So he's got that, and he'll always have that, and they'll need that, especially when Jokic is off the floor. But now that he'll have more minutes with Jokic, and more minutes with a guy like Paul Millsap, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray. I mean, there's going to be scorers all around him as well. So he's going to have to learn how to be, like you said, more kind of a part of the team. And making that adjustment to small forward will be a little bit interesting on the defensive side, because he's going to have to probably play most nights as the undersized in his matchup, which means, you know, a lot. One thing you hope he's doing is putting in a lot of work on his body, just because he's probably a guy who needs to really, you know, kind of try and beef up as much as he can to be able to handle the season.
And, like, his role changed so many times last season, between being, like, the backup point guard, being a backup small shooting guard. But, like, this season, he's the starting small forward. And so hopefully he's working on his conditioning, and because he's not going to be able to take plays off anymore on defense. Like, he's going to have to be an active defender. And the way that you can take plays off on offense, and if your defensive load is heavier, is just by being off ball, you know, and you may have to be running around screens, but at least you're not having to create that separation. And when he's on the court with Millsap and Jokic, those are two bigs who are good at screening, good at passing. They've got good vision, or in Jokic's case, great vision. You know, Murray can have the ball. I think it would be nice to see Harris be more of a playmaker as well with the ball in his hands. But, you know, we know Will Barton is great at getting to the rim. But if he can get, you know, that head start of being off ball and catching the ball on the move, adding that to his game would make him a really, really dangerous offensive player. And if you have him out there with Jokic and Harris and Murray and Millsap, all who are plus offensive players, like, the Nuggets could have a really, really great offense. So I think Barton could be, you know, one of the, like, three best players on the team.
Wow, three best players. That is an interesting, that's an interesting prediction. It's not, but yeah, I could see it. I mean, he's certainly got the potential. You're kind of wondering, really. You figure that Jokic and Millsap are your top two players on your team, or at least two of those three. But that third best player on the team is sort of up for grabs, and you're right, Barton is definitely one of those guys, and he's going to have the opportunity. And the other nice thing about it for him, too, is last year, and, well, really, since Nikola Jokic has come to the NBA, and the Nuggets have entered him into the system, so since December 15th, two seasons ago, whenever Jokic is off the floor, Will Barton has kind of been the only guy for them to go to. He's been their whole focal point of their offense. They haven't had anybody else really who can initiate offense. I mean, Jameer Nelson did a little bit, but wasn't the effective playmaker that Will is. Now they have Isaiah Thomas, though, so they don't really need him to lean on him as much as on the on-ball offense, or as the playmaker when Jokic is on the bench. That probably actually will become Isaiah Thomas. You know, you kind of figure Isaiah Thomas is going to take a lot of the Will Barton role from last season. So it's going to be an interesting one to watch, absolutely, is what he does with that starting role, because you're right, it's going to be a little bit different, but it should be consistent now as well, so... It's going to be there's definitely some potential there. I like that pick. My pick was going to be Jamal Murray, just because I think Jamal Murray is primed to step up and become that third best player on the team, just like you think it might be Will Barton, because we've seen some steady progression from year one to year two from Jamal, and, you know, some of that is just the fact that he wasn't playing with two sports hernias, but when you look at one thing, you look at with Murray is his shooting, both from the, you know, in terms of free throw shooting, and just from the field has been really stellar. But both his rookie season and his sophomore season, he started off really slow behind the arc and then came on as the season progressed. I wonder, to me, which is weird, because I think Jamal is actually one of the most mentally tough guys on the team, but it almost seems like he's always psyching himself out early in the season, or he's one of those guys, like, who has to get into that rhythm as the games go on, get into the rhythm of the season, and then he's fine. So I'm thinking now in his third season, he's got to be fairly used to, you know, making that transition from off season to preseason to regular season, and I expect him to not have that early season dip. And I think if he can do that and then just continue his improvement, which I believe we will see, then he's going to be a guy who, you know, borderline might even get a slight consideration for the All-Star game, but not, you know, not really. Like, he'll probably maybe get like the skills challenge invite or something like that, you know. But I think Jamal is a guy that not only can be the most improved player for the Denver Nuggets, I think if I were going to make my prediction right now, I'd say he's the guy I would be picking to win most improved player in the entire NBA, because I really do think he's got that potential to make that jump this season. But it's a matter of, will he actually do it? You know, it's certainly not guaranteed.
All right, that's a good pick. I mean, as the starting point guard, he's definitely going to have his fair share of opportunity. I just think part of his impact might be not as noticeable, just because he's a player that doesn't need the ball in his hands to be successful. And, right, you know, with the offense going through Jokic, you know, and with Barton in the starting lineup and with Thomas coming off the bench, like, I just feel like he's definitely going to have his fair share of opportunities to create plays. But his usage in that area might not be, you know, as big of an increase as you're thinking.
That is true. That is very, that is a good point. I don't know though. I mean, it's just cause I'm a big, big, just, I stand for Jamal Murray, I guess is what it really comes down to.
Plus, you know, Malone's going to call plays for Millsap and post-ups for Plumlee. So there goes plays for Murray while he's out there on the court.
He might also have a few corner threes to draw up for Nikola Jokic, so that's going to be. But that's where he can get assists, right? You know, he can, this is like, Jamal Murray can be the Stockton to Paul Millsap's Karl Malone. So there's hope. We can, even if they go full 90s ball. All right, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead, let's hit the break. It's right about time to hit a break. And then after we get back, I want to keep going on predictions. I want to talk about how far the Nuggets are going to get into the playoffs. And a member of the organization who we think might not be with the team after next season. And then finally, I think we'll wrap up the show talking a little bit about just kind of what we do here at Stiffs and writing about the Nuggets. So we're going to hit the break and be right back. We've all been there. When the budget's the tightest or a time is the shortest, that's when disaster strikes. The last thing anyone wants to deal with in these times is an electrical issue in their home or business. Maybe your light suddenly won't turn on, or maybe a home inspector wants that electrical service changed before you can close out on a property you're selling. Heck, maybe it's not even an emergency at all, and you're just looking to finish out your basement or get some power ran to that new AC unit. Whatever your need may be, give Sun Electrical a call. They're a family-owned and operated business that serves the Front Range, and you can be assured that you'll not only get the highest quality service, but you'll also get the most affordable price as well. Mike, the owner of Sun Electrical, will come to your home or business personally to evaluate your situation and provide a free estimate. And he stands by the work Sun performs as a fully licensed and insured electrical contractor. So give him a call, 719-659-6888. Don't be fooled by the phone number, as they'll serve the entire Front Range from Colorado Springs to Fort Collins and everywhere in between. That's 719-659-6888. 719-659-6888. Sun Electrical, the home of truly affordable electrical work.
I'm from the east side of America, where we choose pride over character, and we can pick sides, but this is us, this is us, this is. I live on the west side of America, where they spin lies into fairy dust, and we.
All right, everybody, welcome back into the Pickaxe Pundit Show. Zach Mikosh, Dan Lewis. We're from DenverStiffs.com. Spent the first half of our show talking about Michael Porter Jr. playing NBA 2K against random people off the internet. And then also talk about who we think the Nuggets' most improved player next season might be. Let's keep the predictions rolling. This one more of a team rather than an individual prediction. But Dan, let me ask you this. First of all, I guess, do you think the Nuggets are going to make the playoffs? And then if they do, how far do you think they can make it?
I do think that the Nuggets will make the playoffs. It's been said several times before, but they missed Millsap for basically half the season last year, and they missed the playoffs by one game. They also were without Gary Harris for a key stretch down late in the season, and it was Jamal Murray's first year as the starting point guard, you know, and second year is in the NBA. So I think just internal improvement plus, you know, the increased odds of having better health, I think the Nuggets will be a playoff team. I do not think that they will have home court advantage in round one. Mm-hmm. And thus, I do not see them advancing past the first round of the playoffs.
Ouch. Well, actually, though, you know, I think most people will take that. I think if the Nuggets got to the first, just get to the playoffs and like, don't get swept, right? I mean, if you squeak in as like an 8 seed and then just get swept by the Warriors or something like that, then that might still be pretty, you know, pretty anticlimactic for the end of the season. But even if the Nuggets were like a 6 seed and end up playing 6 games in a first round series and then end up losing it, you know, something like that. I think a lot of people would take that as just another sign of improvement for the team, because you're right. Now, I mean, not only did they only miss the playoffs last year by 1 game, they missed it by 1 play, right? Like if Jokic doesn't get the ball stolen from him on that final inbounds and in regulation and in scores instead, then it's game over and the Nuggets are going to the playoffs. So they were right there, and they did that with, like we said, Paul Millsap, one of their 3 best players on the team. They did that, like you said, without him for basically half the season. And so there's certainly some gains to be had there, I would think. And then with the internal improvement, I mean, I said I think Jamal Murray is going to be the most improved player in the entire NBA. So if that happens, then they would almost think that they, just as long as they're healthy, you know, nothing happens to Jokic.
Can we take a moment too to just recognize like how terrible of a play call that was for the last possession, you know, just to like inbounds at the Jokic and hope he does something. Like, compare that with the ending of the Oklahoma City game where they actually ran a play, and yeah, like I think it was Wilson Chandler like leveled Russell Westbrook with a screen, but like they actually ran like a coherent play to get someone a shot.
Like, you know what's the really aggravating part about that? Just a couple games prior to that, when they were playing Milwaukee, they ran that same play, not the Oklahoma City one. They ran the same play that they ran against Minnesota at the end of the game. And that time, Jokic fumbled the ball out of bounds. And if it wasn't for Jamal Murray making that crazy steal and then, you know, icing the getting completing what it was a probably the most incredible comeback of the season, they would have lost that game too. So it's the exact same play in a like crucial moment of a crucial game, and both times they couldn't even get a shot up. It was it was a disappointing play call. We'll just say that. But it is what it is. That is long gone. So Dan, who would you think would be the Nuggets? Do you have an idea who they might play in the first round, or is it just kind of a crapshoot?
Well, like I said, I don't think they're going to get home court, but I don't think that they're going to be the 8 seed. I could see him landing like the 5, 6, or 7 seed. And I actually wouldn't be too surprised to see them play a team like San Antonio.
Really?
As like a 4-5 matchup. If it's a like 3-6 matchup, I could see us playing Portland. Or the Jazz. I would really like to see the Nuggets play a Northwest Division team, though. I think that would make it a really exciting first round and just really kind of stoke some of the rivalries that we have, especially with the team that's located in Oregon. I think that would be a great 7-game series with the former Nuggets player that plays at center for them and Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, you're right, that would I mean, and there's no better team than Portland, right, to stoke that rivalry with. I think another good one would be Minnesota as well. If they got Minnesota in the first round, that could be like a 4-5 matchup, I think, as well.
They're actually the team I think is going to miss the playoffs next season.
I was going to say, I was like, but I also wonder if Minnesota might be a team that actually misses out. So my reasoning is I think they could have a pretty dysfunctional year, because it sounds like one of their best players doesn't want to be there, you know, and that's going to make it hard on them.
Yeah.
Is that what your thinking is? Or?
Well, I think we all just assume that because they have Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns, and that's Andrew it, that they're going to make the playoffs again. But like they're not a very deep team. They kind of lack outside shooting. They just don't seem to have the strategy and pieces to execute the strategy that they want to, that Thibodeau wants to run. I don't think they have the horses for that kind of a style of play. So it's a coach that wants to play defense, an offense, a roster that can't play defense, a coach that struggles with offense, and an offensively struggled roster outside of Jimmy Butler and Karl-Anthony Towns. You know, and Towns is, he can kind of disappear in games, you know, like where he, games where he's only taken like 5 or 6 shots, you know, going into the fourth quarter. And so I think in a conference where now you have to worry about LeBron James and the Lakers, I think that the Timberwolves are actually going to be the team that misses out on the playoffs.
I could, I mean, like I said, I think, yeah, there's certainly a chance, especially because Jimmy Butler seems like he's not happy. And so you wonder if that they could very well end up trading him, you know, and kind of almost blowing it up and trying to redo a rebuild on the fly again around Karl-Anthony Towns.
Well, and like,
see if you can get anybody to take that Wiggins contract.
I think Taj Gibson like led them in minutes last season played. Like at some point he's going to get injured, you know, having played all these minutes for Thibodeau throughout his career. And so you're like, their postseason hopes basically rely on them being like, you know, we really need Jeff Teague to step up and win some games for us. You know, like, if that's where your franchise is at, especially in a Western Conference where it got even harder to make the playoffs, like, I think Memphis is going to be really good. I think
that's going to
be
good.
I think the Lakers are going to be, like, around 500 all season, if not a little bit better, just because of LeBron. And I think Minnesota could, you know, they might go on like an 8-game losing streak, and Thibodeau just is riding his guys like 38 to 40 minutes a game during that, and they're just like, they just quit on everybody outside of Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson. They just quit on their coach.
Right. Well, and don't forget Derrick Rose.
Oh, right.
That's the secret weapon of Minnesota.
If he could read. If he could read the box score, he'd realize they were losing. So then he might quit too.
Ice cold from Dan. So no, way off track there. I agree the Nuggets will make the playoffs. I think, boy, it would be a massive failure if they didn't. It's going to be tough though. There's a lot of competition. Like you said, mentioned the Grizzlies. I think a lot of people overlook that team because they were so bad last season, but you get Mike Conley back and you get Marc Gasol, with some buy-in now. And you got, now you got Kyle Anderson as well. There's a lot to like. I mean, I don't know what you get out of Chandler Parsons, but there's a lot to like, I think, about that Memphis squad that they could make them an interesting kind of dark horse playoffs candidate. And then, of course, LeBron and the Lakers, I kind of get what the Lakers are doing in terms of the way they're building their team. It looks like they're like, all right, we're going to take LeBron, and then we're going to take a bunch of guys who just like, they don't really, they might play you in basketball. They might like beat you up. Like I think that's their plan, is they're going to basically play. They're going to building a team who could be as physical as possible with the Warriors. That's the only way I could justify it in my head.
Lance Stevenson might tie your shoelaces together on the free throw line.
like Three Stooges kind of IG stuff. JaVale McGee might flick you in the back of the head. I don't think the Lakers have enough to be like a team who gets home court advantage in the Western Conference, but I do think that they've got enough on, like you said, on LeBron's back alone to make the playoffs. So I don't think it's guaranteed the Nuggets get in there, but I would expect them to. I would expect, with it, like what we've been talking about, internal improvement and having Paul Millsap all year, hopefully, you know, that's obviously what it would just come down to, is health. If they're healthy, then they should be a team who potentially should not be, you know, fighting for a playoff spot, but should be fighting for a home court advantage in a first round series of the playoffs. That's kind of where I think they'll land. And I think they land somewhere between the 4 and the 6 seed. Maybe if they, you know, if everything fell right, they might get like a 3 seed, which would be phenomenal, which would be a great step forward for the team. And if that's the case, I think there's certainly a chance they could win a first round playoff series. It's tough to do for them, I think, because they're going to have so many guys that they're relying on that have never been in the playoffs specifically. I mean, you think about Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, and Nikola Jokic. That's your core. That's your main trio. And those three guys have never played a playoff game yet. So that part could make it tough for them to get in, out of the first round, depending on, you know, who they play. Like, for example, if they got a four seed and home court advantage, but they had to play the Spurs. I mean, the Spurs are a playoff ready team, you know, and Greg Popovich coaching against Michael Malone, that's advantage Spurs. So, you know, that would be tough. But if at the same time, if you get a team like a Minnesota, or if you get a team like a New Orleans or a Portland, or even, you know, even though Portland does have some quite a bit of playoff experience, well, I think you could have a chance.
In that situation, man, how great would it be to see Isaiah Thomas and Damian Lillard exchanging buckets down the fourth quarter? Neither of them can guard each other.
That would be epic.
But like that would be a great, you know, game five. Where would that be? Game five in Portland. You know, Isaiah Thomas trying to silence the crowd with these, you know, with bucket after bucket, three-pointer driving to the lane, you know, and then getting subbed out with 3 minutes for Jamal Murray.
Right, exactly. That would be – no, that's not how it would go. It would be – we would just play, you know, Jokic, Murray, Barton, Thomas, and Harris.
Nice.
Go with that lineup. That will do the trick for him in that case. But it just would be I'm hopeful that they get in, man, because like you said, the fun part about it is there's so many different Northwest Division teams that they could end up playing. I mean, they're all you could end up playing any one of them. They're all going to be fighting for a playoff spot again, you would expect this season, and we'll be right in that mix, because that's the other interesting thing about the playoffs again this year is I think Golden State's likely to be the one seed or the two seed. I would believe that Houston, I don't think is any better than they were last season, but I don't think they're a ton worse. I mean, taking Melo instead of, who did they have? Aminu, and who else did they lose?
No, Al-Farouq Aminu plays for the Trailblazers. They lost Luke Richard, Mbah Mute, and Trevor Ariza.
And Ariza, okay, yeah. I knew it was one of those guys who had a multiple...
Yep.
Multiple names. But so you lose those two guys and you get Melo in exchange. It's not ideal. But the big thing is they got Clint Capella signed to a long-term deal. If you had Clint Capella playing on a qualifying offer next season, then I would be more inclined to believe that. I think Houston's going to fall off. But I think those top two seeds are pretty locked in. I really think Utah is probably going to get that number three seed if they're healthy. You get Donovan Mitchell now as a sophomore, Rudy Gobert a full year of his health, and the rest of that team and the way they're built is I think they're just built really well. So those two, three teams I think might break away. But then after that, I mean, 4 through 10? You could see being within a couple games of each other, just like last year it was 3 through 10, you know what I mean? So
yep.
Just as easily the Nuggets could be a four seed, or they could be out of the playoffs. I think it could be that close again. All right, before we move on to the final discussion here, Dan, I think I might know where you go here, but if you thought one person who's going to be any member of the Nuggets organization, player, coach, front office member, if you had to pick one player person after this season who would no longer be on the team, who would you pick?
I mean, the easy choice is Isaiah Thomas, because he's on a one-year contract. But
right.
That's cheating. That's taking the easy path, and I don't do that in life. I'm not Kevin Durant. So...
boom.
I'm going to go with Juancho Hernan Gomez.
All right.
I'm going to say is one member of the organization who won't be with the Nuggets after the season's over. I just think they're a combination of, you know, poor health, which is unfortunate. It's not really something that, I mean, it's kind of something he could control, but not entirely in his control. And then the Nuggets just continuing to draft guys that are the exact same height almost and archetype that he is. I just feel like he's a player that the Nuggets could try to move at the trade deadline to try to, you know, add another wing, especially if he's not able to defend like they're hoping, which isn't really his game. You're asking a horse to be a donkey, you know, but... I could see him being a guy that gets traded to a new team to get a new, you know, a kind of like a Trey Lyles situation. Like, let's see how you do with this different team in a different situation, and who knows, you might thrive.
Right, right. That's, yeah, exactly. It's a guy who's just, or a Will Barton situation, a guy who just is buried on a roster, and there's just no playing time, and no matter what, eventually a guy's got to get playing time if he's going to make it in the NBA. That's just how it works. So that's an interesting pick, and I think you could make the exact same case for Malik Beasley, right? He's another guy who's seems to be somewhat buried, but he's not quite as buried as Wancho is, which is the interesting thing. In fact, there's guys behind Wancho, aka the Hulk, aka Vlatko Chanchar, who are coming up behind him, you know, and could be pushing him out as well. So it's not a bad choice at all. You kind of see him being the guy that gets just squeezed out.
Well, I mean, definitely. Like, the organization probably wants to play Michael Porter Jr. over Wancho, right? Like,
right, right.
If you're going to be playing a tall, offensively gifted small forward, like, if Michael Porter Jr. is healthy, Wancho, you're going to be playing him over Wancho.
I mean, yeah, exactly. That's a very good point as well. So, and then you've got, got any number of, you know, you got Tyler Lydon as well in there. You've still got Trey Lyles. I mean, you got tons of guys who kind of play that rangy 3-4 position. That's not a bad pick at all. But I will argue this with you, Dan. I would not say Isaiah Thomas is the easy choice. The easy choice is an assistant coach, right? Because we know, like, every single season, one of them is going to leave.
Jordy, so, no.
Right? The only question is Jordy going to be Jordy Fernandez, or is it going to be Wes Unseld Jr.? But joking aside, you know, so the guy you obviously think that people might want to go to is Michael Malone, right? But we both agree that the Nuggets are going to make the playoffs, that they're probably not going to be an 8 seed, that they're going to be a little bit higher than that. If they do that, it's hard to fire the coach, because again, that's okay, that can, like, kind of continued line of progression. So honestly, if for him, they would either have to miss the playoffs, or if they were going to make the playoffs and somehow he'd have to lose the job, it'd have to be something crazy where they started off really slow, so the organization let him go, and then they kind of back a la, you know, like 2004, 2005, when Jeff Budzdelic started off really slow, got fired pretty early in the season, and then George Karl, when he came in, got the team on, like, this crazy run, and then they ended up making the playoffs after all. That's kind of the only scenario I could see where that happens, where, like, Michael Malone wouldn't be back next year. But I think he's probably well on his way, as long as, especially if the Nuggets make the playoffs, that he'll be, you know, well, and then he'll be getting an extension and probably earn himself a few more years with the organization. I don't know. It's tough. I mean, it's tough to kind of pick someone. One guy I kind of thought about for this would be Arturis Karnišovas, not for any bad reasons, but just because, you know, if Jamal Murray and Gary Harris and Nikola Jokic continue to improve and continue to be really, really solid players, and suddenly the Nuggets are, you know, contending for home court advantage, I think there's going to be teams that are going to look at him, at Arturis, and say, hey, here's a guy, you know, especially if Isaiah Thomas pans out, and imagine if Michael Porter Jr. actually ended up playing, you know, playing some and contributing in all this season. A lot of teams, I think, are going to look at Arturis and think, hey, there's a guy who, you know, who not only can scout here in the NBA and be a GM, but can also, you know, help scout internationally, and has a great team with him, and probably could bring over some talented guys as well. So that was one I was thinking, another guy who might not be back next season, just on the positive side, you know, if you got a promotion. All right, well, we only got like 8 minutes for this. I really don't want to do this segment with only 8 minutes.
Oh, we got time.
We got time. Okay. All right. So we're going to close it out, because this came up on Twitter again, and it always comes up like once every couple months or so, right? Somebody says, oh, you know, the Denver Sifs, they're never critical of the organization. I remember, you know, a couple times I've been called, you know, that I'm, you know, a shill for the organization or whatever, that I'm, you know, pushing their narrative, blah, blah, blah. And it's just kind of I always laugh about it, because the number one thing that I think that maybe people miss about it is, especially about us specifically, is we're not you know, we're not like a bunch of hardcore journalists who moved here to Denver because we got a job on a Nuggets beat. You know, we're all people who've been following the Nuggets our whole lives, and this is our team. So I think there's somewhat of an inherent bias there, just because like you this is the team that you want to watch. You know what I mean? But at the same side, sometimes as fans, you know, we get angry and we get super critical of the team. So I don't know. What about you, Dan? When you have to approach it, like, when you're approaching like writing about this team, do you try and avoid? Do you try and look at it as objectively, or because like I try to look at it just as from a fan viewpoint. Like, I'm not gonna ever try and tell somebody that I'm a hardcore journalist on the beat.
Well, so like I got my start writing on the internet, just to do some quick background, writing for a small website called Hickory High. We got picked up by some other sites, Hardwood Paroxysm. I started writing for Fansided. Then, you know, I do power rankings for them, or I did last season. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it this season because I'm getting married. So congrats to me. But it's like when I was doing the power rankings, I was approaching the Nuggets objectively. When I write for the Step Back, which is part of the Fansided, if I'm writing with the Nuggets, I do so objectively. But when I write for Denver Stiffs, I write for Denver Stiffs mostly as a fan. If I'm doing analysis or something, obviously I'm going to try to write objectively. If it's analysis, you know, numbers or like predicting their win loss thing. But like even then, like I want the Nuggets to win games. You know, like you're saying, I'm a Nuggets fan. Like one of my earliest Nuggets memories is one of their power forwards, I don't remember who it is, but dunking the basketball in his own hoop after getting a rebound from a free throw and just being like, wow, this team, they suck. But then, I don't know. I just kind of was like, well, I'm from Denver and this is my team. And so, I think it's just such rubbish for people to criticize Denver Stiffs of not being critical of the organization. You know, I got banned from Pepsi Center for being too critical of them and for clapping back at Wilson Chandler on Twitter. We've written many times about how we think it's ridiculous that they don't have a G League team, that their training facility is the size of like a high school gym. Like, I bet you money Valor
auxiliary gym.
Like, Valor Christian probably has a better basketball training complex than the Nuggets do. The Nuggets weight room is small. Like, you could get a better weight room at like a CrossFit place. Like, you know, they have to go to other states. They have to go to Creighton for their training camp.
Right, they can't handle it. Like they've got to go other places because
they can't have more than one game of basketball going on at one time.
Right, because they don't have, they only have one full size court,
right,
in their training facility, and yeah, like, man, my high school gym was bigger than the Nuggets training facility.
We were critical of them when they traded for Mason Plumlee, and then when they
that was the one I wanted to bring up.
There have been many, and like some of us were supportive of it, and since then we've realized that might have been a mistake, and criticized for him. Them for that, like we've been critical of them when they've made decisions. Like, if you watched the Facebook Live video of us on draft night when they traded the 13th pick, like I was down in Colorado Springs with Ashley and Gordon, and Gordon and I could barely keep it together. We were so just disappointed in the team. And
I remember, go ahead. I remember that night. I was just dumbfounded when they made that trade. I was like, that's really peculiar.
Right. And like the Nuggets organization really tried to spin that as like, we were so close, we were trying to trade back up with other teams, and they said no, Toronto surprised us, and we were just like, we're having none of that. Like, your job is to be aware of these kind of situations and to not be surprised, and if you're getting surprised, it means you're bad at your job. And so if anybody wants to be getting on us, be like, oh, you're just a mouthpiece for the Cronkies, be like, well, and they need to either A, get better control of us, or B, pay us more money because of how good of a job we're doing. But I don't see any evidence to support that claim.
Right. No, I 100% agree. And the thing that I think about, especially from a fan perspective, that some people don't necessarily see, is it's rarely as black and white as you think it is, you know, with anything within the organization and how it operates. So there is somewhat of a nuance that you learn as you get closer to the team from covering them, and you come to a point where it's not that we're not critical, because like you pointed out, we definitely are, but you don't have to come with like a fiery, blasting hot take. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have to be Skip Bayless to get the point across.
We don't have to be Mark Kisla. That's not who we are.
Right, yeah. I would say, hopefully he's not listening, but I was like, Mark Kisla.
He's not listening. You know,
like, it's 4 o'clock on a Saturday. Yeah. Mark's probably taking a nap.
He's at Winter Park, soaking in some sun.
There you go.
But that business model, if you want to see what being critical all the time does, like, that business model for the Denver Post is failing, like, mm-hmm. whether it's their owners or their style. But, like, Denver Stiffs does well. We get a lot of page views. We have a very active community that we're proud of and we like to cultivate. And we love all the people that come to the site, you know, even the ones that are critical of us. But, like, you know, we've got a good thing going. And sometimes that means we do puff pieces. Sometimes that means we are critical. But, like, we're not in the Kroenke's pocket or anything.
Right. And when the Nuggets do something correct, when they, for example, this offseason, when you looked at this offseason and all that they were able to accomplish and the moves that they made, we weren't critical because they don't deserve to be criticized for it. They've done well this offseason. That's, you know, that's the way it goes. And that was the very, the gentleman who founded the site, Andy Feinstein, that was always his point. Because if you remember, he founded the site as it was called firegeorgecarl.com. And everybody always tried to say, oh, see, look what they used to be. But I was reading Andy when he first started this site. And I've been a member of the community, you know, from its inception, and then eventually became a writer for the site. And I could tell you that his philosophy from the very beginning was that when they deserve to be criticized, you criticize them. And when they deserve to be praised, you praise them. That's how you're supposed to do it. You criticize the losses, you give credit for the wins, and you balance it out. I mean, and so you can't just be, like you said, an overly all the time, just constantly critical person. That's not that sounds like a terrible way to do this job, and when I gain no enjoyment or fulfillment out of it whatsoever. But B, it's just not, like you said, it's just not a good, I don't even want to say business model, because clearly we don't have a good business model. We're all none of us are making any money doing this.
Yeah, but job. But also, like,
right
I think the last thing you wanted to say too, I think we're running close on time, but a fan's voice and opinion, like, we in 2018, we carry almost just as much weight as a blogger or reporter. Like, we don't have exclusives. Right. You know, we're not all of us on Denver Stiffs are, you know, in contact with members of the Nuggets organization. But, like, our opinion is important. And you can be sure that the members in the Nuggets organization are reading Denver Stiffs daily, that Michael Malone knows what we write about. And I don't know if he can say that for all the other sites, but I do know that they know and they are aware of what gets published on DenverStiffs.com every single day.
That's right. So if you're listening, for $1,000 a week, I'll totally shill for you guys all day long. All right.
Yeah, same. I will sell out.
In a heartbeat. All right, well, that is it. We are out of time here on the Pundits. If you guys are on Twitter, make sure you're following us. I'm at Zach Mikosh. Dan is at Minuteman Dan. Of course, follow at Denver Stiffs. And then Nothing But Net Radio, which is at NBN-Radio. On Instagram, if you're checking out Instagram first, go check out how shredded Vlatko Chanchar is. But then make sure you're following us on at the Denver Stiffs. Also on Facebook, and so if you're over there, give us a follow, give us a like. There is always kind of unique content on those other platforms that you're not necessarily going to find on the website itself, so you always want to make sure you're following all those social media sites. And then if you are listening to the podcast version of this, first of all, why are you not listening to the Nothing But Net Radio on the Dash Radio app? You can download it on your phone, listen to it in your car, listen to it at work, wherever. Catch shows just like this one for every single team in the NBA. Also some general NBA shows and some good music in between. So definitely worth checking out. Download the Dash Radio app and tune it to the Nothing But Net channel. But if for any reason you did not do that, because even though I tell you guys every week to do it, and you're listening to the podcast version of this, then we would appreciate it if you left a rating and subscribed. All righty. Dan, appreciate you being on, man.
Tell Aladdin I love you.
All right, everybody, we'll talk to you next week.